All good. Let's go. Oh, sounds good.
Let's go. So now is the really really natural chit chat for the show. So let's do it.
Yeah, it's hard to do a casual chit chat when you know that you're going to do casual chit chat, right? It just makes it harder. I don't know why.
Challenge.
It's like we do it all the time, but once you say do it.
And there's no cats walking around that I could just comment about Raz's cat or someone.
Two cats.
I can get my dog theme if you do.
Oh, you have dogs? How many?
I have two dogs, yeah.
Oh, nice. I have two cats, so we can.
We should not.
We should not meet them up. Okay. That, yeah, especially if they didn't grow up together.
Yeah,
and I guess today we're not saying good morning,
yeah, it's
right? Good evening.
Yeah. It's evening everywhere.
That's unusual for us. We usually record.
That's true.
Really?
More of midday. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Noa Tamir, and this is Checkpoint Charlie. Thank you for joining us again. And we have a guest
Ronnie,
today.
Hi.
Ronnie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, sure. Hi, I'm Ronnie.
Hello.
One love. I'm from Israel. Managing teams of QA automation, automation infrastructure, DevOps a little bit as well. For your listeners that know Raz, I'm taking full responsibility or a little bit some responsibility for his ongoing progress in the world of high tech. I was pushing him in the start.
Are you his high tech dad?
he was saying that I'm his high tech managing mentor, but it's his words, I say, because when I tried to make him a manager, he actually pushed back.
Well, whatever you did, I think you did well. Let's say.
It took time to sink in, I guess, with him. Yes, other than that, I'm an oceanographer actually. My studies are in the field of physical oceanography, not high tech, not software related at all. But that's part of the fun, I guess. I have one kid, two dogs, and I ride a motorcycle, I guess.
All right.
Great.
And then maybe you want to tell us, so I guess we're going to talk a little bit about QA today, and automation, but maybe do you want to introduce a bit the topic? And
yeah, sure.
Tell us more about, well, get us started maybe a little bit.
I think this world of QA, of testing, let's call it testing because terminology is very hard. These days, each one calls QA something else. But this world of testing is evolving very quickly in the last, I would say, 5 to 7 years. And it's actually became like something that people refer to, but they don't really know what's behind it. People say QA, and some talk about testing, some talk about manual testing. And they say automation, and they might say automation for automation testing, and they might say automation for tools of automation that helps people to test. And I think, you know, this world of testing is really evolving fast, and a lot of companies, first of all, a lot of companies stay behind, and I see it all around. And a lot of companies doesn't know how to use the people with the expertise they already have and help them to do the transformation. So they sometimes switch them with people with more coding abilities but less testing abilities. Some just keep on, I don't know, there is so much weird solutions that I see around that are just, I don't know, I don't believe it will work, and I see it doesn't work for a lot of places actually. So that's the topic that I really take interest in. I talk a lot of with a lot of friends about it. I really try every company that I start working at to make some sense out of it and trying to put it in the right direction. But I think it will sink in eventually, but right now when it's so much mess, I think a lot of people that are involved are not really know how to take it and to take it to the next level, to the
And it's been messy for quite a while.
It is.
Like I remember already like 10 years ago at least, and I think that hasn't changed drastically from what I've seen at least. It wasn't established to be called a QA engineer, so they were inventing all these words and terms, even like the ninja or something like it was just really hard to talk about, right? If you don't even have the word for the role, you definitely don't know how it fits into the organization, how many you should have compared to how many engineers, what does it relate to test automation, to build engineering, to all of these things. It was always incredibly, incredibly messy from the role definition.
Yeah, I think also one of the most creative solutions is, okay, we don't know how testing should work. Let's just give it up. let developers test and that is. I mean, or if you, I think I heard that Facebook is doing it. I'm not sure, but let's just give to the customers to do the testing. We'll have good monitoring and we will know what's going on in the field while it's happening, and then we fix.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a good example because they just had a really big crash when I'm thinking about it. But yeah, so, and I think part of the reason that companies went to this non-testing personnel, that they don't know how to treat testing. As you said, about 10-12 years ago, QA was, there is a big the go no go. You know, everybody heard about the go no go meeting, where QA say if we can release a version to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody does. I mean, some companies might do it, but at least companies that are not what we call safety critical, which are when testing is really life or death situation kind of thing, they shouldn't do go no go anymore. QA is part of the discussion of saying what is the quality of the product at the moment, but they shouldn't decide if it's good enough or not good enough. Good enough or not good enough, it's product issue. They should say if they want to release it in this quality to the customer, because it's so many other factors that should be taken into account.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I guess back then that's where it was, the go no go QA was the gatekeeper. If they say no go, nobody releases anything. And one way to solve the problem is to eliminate the QA. So that happened. So I think there was a few years that it was really a big trend of let's not have testing people. But I think that's part of where the automation grew from, because when people that are developers and coders do testing, they will find any way they can not to do it manually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that gave a very big push to automation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did automation, me and Raz, 13 years ago we started, 13 years ago we started an automation in the company that we used to work for. But back then it wasn't that, there wasn't so many frameworks, there wasn't so many methodology as we have today.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I think there was a very big step forward in this field, but we are still in a mess.
Some people maybe haven't heard or worked directly with QA testers, or maybe have, but in a less than ideal condition, since, as we mentioned early on, this is not really organized or standardized, and you might have seen it in many different ways. Could you tell us, Ronnie, maybe what do you think is, what is the goal of QA? What should they be doing? And maybe the second step after that, a little bit of what that might be. What is the kind of work that they do?
The main goal is to reflect quality of a product. Okay, the product can be very diverse. The testing methodology can be very different. But what an organization wants from his QA is to know as fast as possible what is the quality of the product that was now delivered from develop. It can be any once an hour, once a day, once a month, or once a year. Doesn't matter what the cycling of the development is, and if the QA knows how to reflect the quality at any given time, it gives the decision makers to decide when to release and what to release and to whom. I believe that's the role of QA.
Yeah, no, so how, what does that look like? What do they do? Oh. So a developer, I guess, at some point thinks, okay, I've built a version of the product that should be released, that has, I don't know, solved all the bugs, has new feature, a complete new product, what anything that they feel like is ready to be shipped, let's say. At that point, it goes into a QA cycle, let's say a clean kind of thing, not very continuous integration. And at that point, it goes into, okay, let's figure out what's the quality of this. Then what does a QA engineer does, or manual QA?
Doesn't matter what the methodology is yet. What the QA, the QA does is, as we said, testing the product. That means understanding what the product should do, what it shouldn't do, and how it should behave in flows which customer is going to use the product.
And how do they, so they know this because they're participating in all the team meetings anyway, or are they working very closely with product?
Again, in a clean environment, they will be in the cycling from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, when there is a design, when the developer is saying how he's going to develop it, they're already in there. So they understand all the customer side of the product and also the engineering side to try to think what kind of complexity there is in the actual coding or implementation, as well as the customer use. And then they write scenarios of how they're going to test it, okay? How they're going to use the product to see that it's working as well as it should. As well as it should can be the actual behavioral, it could be how fast it's gonna do whatever it needs to do. Is it working on all computers? Is it working on a cloud? Whatever the product should be, but there is a lot of setups in QA about the operation systems and networks and all those kind of stuff. And usually in the end, there's two important outputs for QA cycle. Bugs, which is means what did we find in the product that doesn't meet the expectations, okay? And what is the, what do we think is the impact on a customer, okay? Because a lot of bugs can be something very small that the customer might not even see. So the impact is small and the quality is not very, is high, okay? If there can be one bug, but it crash your computer, delete everything, and send it to, before it deletes it, send it to somebody very bad. So that's a very big impact on a customer in a one bug. So that's how we, in a high level, how do we look at quality of a product?
And then when we talk about automation here, we're talking about trying to take said scenarios, let's say use product on, open product on several different systems, and try to write some sort of script that does that automatically and is able to also give us some feedback on what happened when it, like, was there a crash, or what was seen, or what was interaction, and so on, right? So it's something that's supposed to both provide something, like it needs to script something to happen and give us some feedback on what was the result of taking those actions, right?
Yeah, yes. The basic format of a test would always be some kind of input or action and expected result or expected output that we the product should give back.
Now, I guess some people who are listening to this, who are developers or similar to me, data scientists, we write unit tests and tests a lot. And we also try to make sure that it builds on different systems and that everything is work. So what is the difference between the testing developers do and the testing the QA does?
Okay, so tests are usually separated in different levels, okay? So what you are saying, unit tests, and there is a component test which is very similar, what we call white box testing. It's mean, let's test that the code do what it should do in a small pieces, okay? We have a function, it should do multiple two numbers. Let's check that when you give it two numbers, the result is correct. And that usually in most places is the work of the developers. Doesn't matter if they have QA, doesn't have QA, what kind of QA. Okay, unit component tests are more, are usually a tool to the developer themselves to make sure they don't break anything while they change stuff. And it's very important. I think that's in the QA world today, it has to be done. Over those levels, there is a system integration test, what we call, which is a little bit wider. Okay, we take all the product or significant part of the product that have an actual output that we can measure, and we test this as a whole system. Okay, we find a way to give it inputs or to initiate any kind of process. And again, we check the expected output. That can be, for example, some process that writes data to the database, let's say. So we'll give this process input and we will go to the database to check that it's actually there after, and it's the right data, of course, if it has to be some kind of, if it's doing any kind of processes in the way.
What's your experience or take on where to start, like especially when you're developing a new system or you have a system that has no tests yet for whatever reason? It has been written, maybe it has been tested manually all the time, and now you're starting off like with writing or automating tests. Is it like there is a golden rule or rule of thumb that always start outside in, like you start with end to end and then you dive in, try to, for both cases, for whether you're covering a system that doesn't have automated tests or you are testing a new system that is being built while you write the tests at the same time? Is there kind of rule of thumb or always going outside in or inside out, or is it also very dependent on each product? And
well, it really depends in what step in my career you're asking that.
That's a factor I didn't expect.
what I'm doing at the moment actually, and it's part of it, I believe it's an impact kind of equation. There is no rule of thumb. You want to make the more significant but easy to implement test first. If end-to-end is easy enough, okay, let's make some like a golden flow that what we call smoke test or whatever, just to make sure the system is not broken. But sometimes it's too hard and you just put too much work into it and it's not very, it doesn't worth it. So I think that organizations that have good manual QA and doesn't use them and help them grow with the company to automation, I'm missing the whole point of understanding that QA, the professions and people that are good at it, are not easy to find, and they have a special skill set and a mindset that can work. You can teach them coding, but as a methodology, I have to say, when I see companies that are really considered to be very very progressive, very like in the front of technology, and they have like an whole group of manual QA. They have automation also, okay? They have people that write automation after the manual QA do their testing, and the product is already shipped. They will do take the same test and write them as automation for regression.
That's odd.
You think so? Because I think that's, I don't, I won't say it's a common.
I haven't seen that.
Wow, that's happened a lot.
I guess I worked in very cutting edge companies.
Yeah. I won't say company's name here, but when we're talking about cutting edge companies.
Mm.
But sometimes.
Yeah, I meant effectively, not in reputation.
No, I think some companies are cutting edge in develop. But QA stay behind also in the methodology progress. And yeah, I think that's, but I will say in 10 years from now, I would guess there will be no manual QA in any company that's really still in the business, I would say.
I like the last point you mentioned. This example that some automated tests have been written even after you've released what you are trying to test. And this, I think it makes sense. I mean, if you didn't before, at least do it after, for the following reason. And I want to play this idea with you, see like my understanding of the true value of automated testing. Like for me, it's obvious the goal, as you mentioned, but then the question of why should we automate the manual work if I can't hire more people and the load, like my product grows complex or big and there are more cases and more situations. So the question, like, okay, should we automate, invest in that, its cost as well, maintaining it and developing, it's not like just something you do overnight, or should I hire more people, right? And for me, this question, the answer wasn't so easy in the past, but after like going through doing automated testing and seeing companies do it, and as a developer also see what tests do to me, especially when I'm changing complex system, the answer is yes, you should actually invest in automated testing, not only because it is easier in a sense, like it maybe makes it faster to catch bugs, or makes it faster to kind of get to the point of knowing what is the quality of the product you're about to release. But at some point when you might catch things that no human can catch at some point, especially in complex systems, like you change something that something in the left bottom corner that might break something in the top right corner, and you will never know about it. It might be sensitive, it might be critical, you will never know about it. Maybe in a year, the case to reach that problem, it will happen. And sometimes even trying to understand what happened and why that part is broken is another cost that is sometimes big, to realize what change actually caused this after so many changes built on top. The more the tests, or the more this kind of the product is covered with multiple types of tests, I think the more you might catch of those issues before they actually either reach production or reach a real customer, and they can save you a lot of trouble in the future. Or it depends on when they happen, and as you said, what the impact is. But if you don't know about them, you will never be able to know what the impact is, right, to begin with. So the first step, I guess, usually is discovery. Like, okay, what are we going to break, actually, when I change here or I change there? And I usually think about it this way. That's the true value of the automation activity of testing. I don't know how much you agree with that, or you think it is capturing maybe the reason behind automation. Or is it like not really, you haven't seen that being the most valuable thing?
We have to remember that the automation was starting from regression. I mean, because every version people were manually doing the same test for every version again and again, and somebody said, okay, let's do something automatic that does that. So that's why it makes sense to write tests, manual tests, and bring them to automation even after the product is already out. Okay, for the next version regression. But what you are saying, I think, is very common also in performance testing. And when you were talking, I was thinking, yes, how do you simulate 1,000 hits at the exact same time for a server manually? What do you do? I mean, I actually remember us standing in a flow of 100 people and telling everybody, please hit now. Just to see just to see what happened with 100 people logged into the system.
Right. That's a good case as well. Things that you never actually simulate with humans.
Yeah, you can never.
To the scale you need.
But I think when the automation evolved, what we're seeing now is that regression is just an output of being able to automate while you instead of manual testing. Okay.
Mm.
And then it stayed for the regression. That's good, but that's a big transformation that not a lot of companies did so far, of actually having automatic tests written with the product itself. And as you said, it's quick. I mean, when you have the test, so you can get feedback. If you can launch a product, I don't know, 10 minutes or whatever. It depends how continuous integration fanatic are you, but we have companies in Israel that do it for a lot of years, and they're really they're known for the CIS, continuous integration, continuous delivery system,
mm-hmm.
and they deliver, I don't know, 10, 20 times a day to production,
right.
mm-hmm.
all automated, push of a button. I think that's the big value that we're having now from automation. It's a quick feedback. You as a developer can, first you can, before you even launch your change, you can test it very quickly on your own computer and know what's going on. So you have your confident level of, and you feel very comfortable of making changes without being afraid that you just broke everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned before, Ronnie, that QA should be involved already from, mm-hmm. and in general, maybe, you should be thinking about product quality already from the moment that you're starting to think about what you want to be building, and then specifying how their plan for building it. So maybe at what point really should QA be involved, whether it's automated or manual, if it's different, and then throughout the cycle of ideation, development, build, release, on-call, like, because I've also seen QA being extraordinarily supportive with on-call issues. So I think it really goes through the mm-hmm. entire cycle.
QA should be there from the beginning. The beginning is when a product manager grooming or whatever name you're using to show mm-hmm. what's the new feature should do. And usually it's a user story or any kind of depends what the methodology is, but explain what the feature does and what the customer what customer needs coming to solve. Okay, so from there the QA should be in there. Also because good QAs have inputs in this stage already, because they're using the product a lot. Doesn't matter if it's automating, they know the product very well and they can say, well, did you think about this kind of impact on the user flow if you are adding this checkbox
mm-hmm.
right now,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then when usually the developer go and make some kind of a design how it's going to develop it. In this stage, the QA can already think how it's going to test it, okay? And sometimes it will need to be also changes in the infrastructure of the automation, so that's also something we can sometimes do in this stage already, knowing that we need to add some kind of method or some kind of hook that will make it possible for us to test it. And then the developer will say, okay, this is how I'm going to develop it. Design review, whatever. At this point, the QA can finish his test design. Okay, test design, in my opinion, is an automation. How do I'm going to automate it? What tests and how do I'm automating it? Okay, so a little bit after the developer is showing his design, the QA can already show his test design. Okay, showing meaning reviewing it with relevant people and know that he's really covered everything needed to be covered. And in the most extreme methodology, you can get the tester finish writing his test before the developer actually delivered anything. And if you're using any kind of test-driven development, so you can actually even run it and it will be read and it's good. And then when the developer will ship the feature, it will become green or not. But and that means that when we get to release, we have already automatic tests in place running on the product as part of the progression testing the new features, and also getting into our regression package for the next version.
I was wondering, considering with all the move to more automation and so on, and as you said, like maybe the future of manual is dead, I still, and I haven't done this recently, I haven't worked very embedded with a development team in the last year, then I remember that I really, really appreciated having team testing, like an hour where we just sit and everybody touches product and interacts with new features and tries out things. Is that something you think still has value even if we move away from manual? Or do you think that should go away as well?
So yeah, I was taking the whole dev and then doing 2 days of regression testing before release, every release. I don't find any use to it, I would say.
Okay.
But now when you mention it, I think a small group of people that are working on the same feature, the same area, if they will meet together and play with the product in this specific area they just changed, while talking about it, can be kind of exploratory testing, which is something that we can do automate. And exploratory testing is something that proven to find unexpected bugs. So this is something that I didn't thought about it before, actually, but now that you mention it, that's a side of testing that is being neglected while going to automation. When we will have a good AI for that, we might get the exploratory testing for that. Good luck with that for you.
Thank you.
but on this kind of short-term test cycle, that might be a good thing.
Do you think you've seen companies don't utilize people who have the expertise well to do these automation or testing properly? I wonder if you meant here... by that, the developers who have the mindset kind of automating the test because they don't want to do it manually, and they also have the skill set because they are programmers, so they are all, they can just start more or less writing or automating their tests. Is that the right combination? Should developers be the main QA testers? Or is it completely different? Like they should be
no,
different.
No, I actually meant the other way around. Mm-hmm. I actually meant that companies doesn't take manual QA per people that really know how to test and help them become automatic automation testers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, actually, yeah, I think that there is a important things to that I always say. That I believe that testers and developers have a different mindset, and they should have different mindset. Mm-hmm. And there is not, I didn't met a lot of developers that can really test well. This means that if they look at the product, even if not they didn't develop it, some other developer, okay? Because test yourself is a whole different problem.
Agreed.
But let's say they do cross testing, mm-hmm. okay? Still, if they look at the product and they write a test plan, how to test mm-hmm. it, any kind of test plan, they usually won't, it won't be complete. It will look at the mm-hmm. bits and bytes and the what kind of attribute was used here and what kind of, but not, they will not look at it as a system and how to test the system mm-hmm. And how the user impact is of the system is and what flows might the customer do more right. or less. And that's a tester expertise, okay? Mm-hmm. And a good tester, in my opinion, is usually the person that knows the product more than anybody else in the team with product and testers and developers. Usually a good tester will be the expert of the product because you know it inside out and high level and low level as well.
That's interesting. This is an interesting combination of knowledge, because if you need to know the product inside out that much, but you also need, in order to be efficient, you need to know enough engineering skills to automate properly. That's a lot of knowledge you need to have.
Nice yeah. tension there.
That's true.
Exactly. So I wonder, is it, you cannot, I mean, I arguably or hopefully the best person to know the product from a user perspective are the product manager and the UX designer, without being on the detail, implementation detail level. But those people usually, or those roles, don't necessarily have the skills to kind of help automate the test. So they can do manual testing well, and this happens often, we see it a lot. How do you see it? How did it work well in your experience? Was it PM UX working with QA engineer directly?
I like to use the term gray box, mm-hmm. which is somewhere between black box and white box. Black box meaning, of course, looking at the system from outside without knowing anything that's going on inside. White box is the opposite, knowing every line of the code or whatever. So I think testers should be gray box testers. They don't have to know every line of the code, but they have to know the logic. And they still need to know how the system is used by the customer. But the point that you were mentioning, of course, is the same as I was saying, there is not a lot of developers that can do really good testing. There is not a lot of testers that are really good developers. That's why I believe in what I saw that can work is having two different types of, let's call them automation, QA automation people. There are some that are more focused on what we call infrastructure for testing, and some are more focused on testing. Still, both of them write code in the way I see it, okay? But it's a different level of code. It's a different level of complexity. The people that write infra are more close to the white box, and they know how to hook to the system in the right places to enable testing. Basically, infrastructure people can be developers just as well. Mm. Okay, but they have to have some kind of QA mindset in order to understand how to what kind of abilities the tester will want in order to be able to test the system. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the other role of that actually people that actually write the test. This is what I found, and I have actually been done it in two different company that I used to work for. It's taking manual QA people, some of them even with no code experience, and teach them basic coding and getting the infrastructure to a level they can use it and grow with it. They still write code, but the code is simple. You give them methods that they can use easily. It's also something very on the personal level of the person is actually personal growth, because people that do manual QA, it's very known that they get exhausted by doing the same work over and over manually, and when you get them a new thing to learn, you help them do the more interesting work. They don't need to do repeating work manually, because they write the test automating, and then it's run by itself and they just can see the results. It also help you keep people in the role of QA for longer time and get them to be more experts of the product and the testing.
That's an interesting idea, and it goes along the lines of when we talk about some jobs that they might be automated and people losing jobs, and one of the solutions is lots of people suggest, or some suggest that, automation doesn't mean like you don't need a human being doing anything at all, but it's rather new maybe skill set or something, and then those same people might be trained again to do, to begin with, use their expertise of knowing the system, because they have tested it manually so many times that they do understand the system, and definitely they have the knowledge to know what has been automated, that it is covering what it should be covering, and so on. But then it's like rather the hard skill need to be kind of learned to be able to write those code. And I remember seeing this a lot, although I don't see it anymore that much. Like, there has been like a wave of writing behavioral tests with like some sort of behavioral languages, like Gergen, for instance, was very common at some point. And was like a huge hype around it, and was like expected that non-programmers would be able to read it and write it to some degree. Even product managers can actually specify sort of their specs in that language, and then it forms also as input for the tests with some tweaking eventually. And I don't see it anymore. I wonder then, from your experience, like, have you seen this working, or what went wrong with this? Or why don't we see it anymore? Like, what happened there?
So what you're referring to is called keyword-driven tests. Mm-hmm. That's because it usually, as you said, it's kind of you write in language, press button, fill field, and there is some engine around it that actually making an automation test out of it.
Yep.
And there are a few tools out in the market that are actually doing that, but you will still have the infra developers, because somebody have to write the transformation from the keywords to an actual automatic test, and it's very limiting. And the thing is that if you limit the tester to a certain abilities, it won't test very well, because a good tester is creative. Okay, I can tell you that when I was managing QA people, and they needed to write a test plan, for example, I used to tell them, we have a checklist, but we don't have a template, we don't have a table you have to fill in. If you want to do it in a spreadsheet, do it in a spreadsheet. If you think it's better to do it in a flow diagram, do it in a flow diagram. It's do it in the best way you can explain and execute your tests. So all those keyword driven, in my opinion, are too limiting to the tester to be able to actually test and do a good testing, and not just, you know, the few building blocks that was delivered to him by the tool. I don't know if you use this term a lot. I use it it's called a level of abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do too much, the level of abstraction is too high, you're getting too narrow in the abilities of
framing. I fight with this in development, not only in testing. Like
we are learning
this as well, mm-hmm, these days. Yeah.
So I'm saying you take the testers, even though they don't know coding, you teach them some, and then you get the infrastructure to a certain level of abstraction, and then you have, then it's meet in the middle, and it gives them enough ability to be creative, mm-hmm, and if they want to be more creative, so it's only code, they can learn a little bit more and do some more stuff, mm-hmm, that they're not even in the infrastructure at the moment. And still, it's automating and it's easy to learn. So that's like the path in the middle that I find it working.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie, you might have changed my mind a little bit about one of the points that you mentioned. Like, it is. You brought lots of clarity that I will try to bring to people I work with about testing is about the quality of the product and the impact of things we find that they are broken. We need to measure these kind of before we decide whether this is a go or no go. It's more of that than gatekeeping and perfectionism in a way. And yeah, I think that's my main insight today from what you described from your experience. I like it.
Yeah, I really like that as well. I think that was a really good reminder. Sounds fundamental, but like sometimes going back to basics of like, why are we doing this and what's the goal of this function is really important, especially as it's changing and especially as it was never well, mm-hmm, defined. So I feel I really like that we touched on that. I think the other point that I really appreciated that you made was the touching on the mindset between, mm-hmm, developing and testing. And I think especially since I feel like we're all writing tests now with tester and development, like as you said, test has become a word that like we're using in too many ways across our teams. And I think going back to mindset and trying to figure out a bit what we know and what we're trying to figure out and how it's useful to have different people come together with a little bit of a different mindset, a little bit of a different skill set, trying to have, and I really, I've always seen that working with testers and with test automation engineers, that they are really in the user mindset. They're really trying to figure out how this will work in the wild and how it will work, try to stop assume you know so much about the product and about how it's, what it's supposed to be doing and how it's working. And I think that is a really valuable mindset to have in a team. And it's really, really useful, and maybe undervalued a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing to learn from both of you about how far we have got actually with all this non-deterministic kind of type of test automation. That's fascinating. I haven't heard that we are there already. That's awesome. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine.
It's not everywhere.
Soon.
Yeah.
All right.
So this was a pleasure, Ronnie. Thank you so much for joining us and talking about a topic that we both really, really like and appreciate. And yeah, we're TechPoint Charlie. You can find us on Twitter at TechPoint_C. On LinkedIn, and we have techpointcharlie.blog, and wherever you find this, we try to distribute everywhere possible. So we hope you will keep following us, and if you want to reach out to follow up, to raise ideas or questions, continue with discussions, we also like start topics sometimes on Twitter or send swag, so just feel free to reach out to us, and we hope to hear from you. And maybe, Ronnie, you can tell us a little bit where people can find you online.
I'm actually a very low profile, I guess. I am on LinkedIn, Ronnie Love, that's me.
We'll put it later.
Yeah. Not very... My first podcast, no. By the way. Thank you for having me.
Hopefully not the last.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
It's been insightful, but really thank you.